B-Pod Studios.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
And here it is, the first Talkin' Rock podcast of 2022. And we started off in fine form with Nita Strauss. Hopefully you guys had a great Christmas, New Year's, the whole thing, as we are back in action. I've got a couple of interviews I've already done, which I'm going to post, I think, near the end of the week, along with a brand new interview with a new artist, which we'll tell you about maybe near the end. Anyways, Nita was nice enough to do a Zoom call with us. If you want to watch this interview, you can at WRIF.com. Of course, not for my photogenic self, but for Nita with her Metallica shirt on as she's in some sort of rehearsal space. But her last solo record, Controlled Chaos, came out in 2018. And now she's working on her next solo record. Of course, with the pandemic and whatnot, people have been doing things like this. And the first single with David Draiman, Dead Inside, is so cool and really doing really, really well for us. We talk about that. We talk about the upcoming Alice Cooper record and, of course, her year in touring as well. We talk a little bit about the pandemic. She does talk about her VIP meet and greets and some of the stuff that people like to ask her as well. So lots of stuff to get to today with Nita. As like I said, we were connected via Zoom and we were off and running today. It's Nita Strauss on Talkin' Rock. Nita, great to see you early this morning. How are you?
So good. So excited. We are in tour prep, which is my second favorite time outside of actually touring, just kind of getting things ready, getting the new year kicked off, and excited to be back out there on the road.
You know what? Speaking of touring, you have a lot of touring this year, right? Should everything go according to plan, you are going to be on the road practically all year, right?
I am. Yeah. Super excited. Right now I'm booked through August and we've got some cool stuff in mind for the fall and winter. So yeah. We're going to make up for lost time as best we can.
Yeah. I was going to say, so I saw your tour schedule. First of all, it's kind of weird because I think that show in Canada in Windsor has been canceled because they're going like COVID crazy up there. And on that same date, you were supposed to be on some sort of cruise, or am I reading the schedules wrong?
Oh, no, that's right. So I'm on Ship Rocked with my solo band. And then the cruise ship docks the morning of the 27th, and my flight was from there to the Alice tour that same day. So it is actually not even the craziest schedule thing. You know, I usually fly out for the Rams games the same day as well, and I have to be on stage for that at noon. So to fly out in the morning and be on stage at, you know, 9 or 10 p.m., that's a breeze.
Yeah. Yes. So, Alice, I was looking at the schedule here, and of course, Alice, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like it's almost like 3 days on, maybe a day off. Is that kind of how he usually operates?
Yeah, that's usually what we do. We do 5 or 6 shows a week, usually three on, one off, two on, one off.
Yeah. And so how do you keep things fresh going city to city, playing this set list every single time like that?
You know, I've never felt like it wasn't fresh, to be honest with you. It's such a fun set. Alice is such an exciting performer to be on stage with. The songs are so great. There's never been a point where we're like, you know, we got to play 18 again. You know, how boring. Like, it's fun. It's fresh every night. The audience is different every night. The vibe is different every night. You know, Alice has been playing 18 for, 50 years?
Yeah.
Just about, you know. So if he's not bored with it, I'm not bored with it.
Well, we'll talk more about Alice here in just a bit, but first, the Winter Wasteland Tour, in case you're in the Motor City, that comes around the token on January 14th, which is next Friday as I record this. And of course, congrats on the success of Dead Inside with David Draiman. I talked to David about a month ago about that song. So, I mean, just talk a little bit about that song and working with David.
It was so exciting, you know, especially for me, just sort of getting into the active rock space. You know, I've been obviously in this industry for a long time, but this is my first time having a real single at radio. You know, like, my instrumental stuff went to radio a little bit, you know, here and there people, you know, would play it, but this is my first real radio song. And we are, I believe, the highest charting single at rock radio by a female solo artist ever now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, which is wild. You know, the last high one was Alanis Morissette in 1995, and she was number 3. And I think we're number 3 or number 2 now. So it's wild to see. It's wild to see this song go. I think we did end last year at number 2, so I think we got that top spot, which is just mind blowing to me that that's even a thing. And we're shooting for the top. We're shooting for number one. So let's see if we can make it happen this week.
Yeah, that Alanis Morissette song that she hit top with, I think was about a Detroit guy, a friend of mine, which we'll not talk about right now. But but David, he told me that that song was like he you guys had kind of talked a little bit, and all of a sudden he like had this in his brain and he just had to get it out there. And so he kind of rushed over and recorded it with you guys and stuff. Is that how it kind of played out for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So he lived with the song like in his own tomb. He said, let me live with it for a little bit. And then once the inspiration struck for him, it was like gold. And he called my boyfriend Josh and me up on Zoom. And he said, this is what I think, this is what I have in mind for the song. And what he sang me on the video chat that day is pretty much exactly what ended up on the final record. He sang the melody and the lyrics. He had obviously this super powerful message with the lyrics of the song. The melody is classic David, you know, like just catchy and memorable, sticks in your head. And what he came up with off the top of his head is really very close to what made it on the final record.
Yeah. There's a hum in there. Is that you?
My garage door did just open, so okay. Did just start.
That's all right. That's all right. No problem. I was wondering what that was. I thought that maybe we were being invaded or something. There it goes. Yeah, now it's gone. All right. Yeah. So tell me about the state of this record now. I heard you're going to do like maybe half vocals, half instrumental and stuff. How's it coming along?
Yes, exactly. It'll be half and half. The music for the record is finished. And it's just, there are a couple little vocalist things to tie up here and there to record their parts. But the music, the guitar playing, the drums and everything else is all finished and edited. And as long as we get these last two singer things tied up, we should be very, very well on track for a release this spring.
All right. Singer things. Is that a technical term?
It is a technical term for me, you know, because I usually don't work with anybody but myself.
Right, right.
You know, like, so it's new for me to be on other people's clock rather than my own. You know, when I released Controlled Chaos, I'm really the only musician on it. You know, I had my boyfriend play the drums, my best friend played the keys, but, you know, they're not somebody that I need to clear with their record label or their release schedule or, you know, their tour schedule or anything like that. So it's definitely been a new experience for me working with these higher profile vocalists, but a very, very good one. And I'm really, really excited for you guys to hear what we have coming out.
And no word yet as to who's going to be on the record. You're keeping that tight?
Tight for now, but there are some cool surprises.
All right, cool. And any time as to when this is going to be released?
We're hoping for the spring. It's all just going to depend on what happens with the last vocalist stuff.
Yeah. Now, of course, you've been in this business for a while now, and you've been with Alice's band for 6 or 7 years. You've made a lot of friends. I mean, I can't talk to anybody that doesn't know who you are in the rock business. So was there people that you asked to do that couldn't possibly work with you on this record, and some people that did, or how did it work, or did everybody you asked say yes?
No, there were several people that we approached that were really, really interested in it, but, you know, it didn't work out for their timing. It's a lot of politics might not be the right word, but it's just a lot of timing with other people's releases. You know, bands that have an album of their own coming out this year, their label doesn't let them feature on other people's music because it kind of competes with what they're doing. So we ran into that a lot because everybody had the same idea to make an album during COVID because nobody could tour. So we really ran into that a lot. You know, there were several people that I approached right off the bat that said, I'd love to work with you, but I can't do it right now. So all that means is I'll just have to make more music and release it another time.
Yeah, there you go. And so you just mentioned COVID. Is that kind of what you were doing during the break, just kind of working on stuff, maybe doing stuff like this, teaching and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I released an online guitar course, which was really cool because I'm not really, my schedule doesn't really permit me to teach one-on-one, but I like teaching. I feel like I'm kind of a teacher at heart. My mom's a teacher. Like, I just like teaching. So I released an online guitar course, which is iwanttoplayguitar.com, which I think is an amazing website, by the way. I was really active on my Patreon page. I started that right before COVID hit, just a few months before. So that was really a lifesaver, kind of trying to find ways to connect with people, connect with fans, you know, in a time that you can't really connect in person. It was cool doing live streams and, you know, Q&As and stuff like that on Patreon. And then the rest of the time we spent recording this album, writing and recording this album, which I'm really, really proud of. I think if you listen to Dead Inside, you can see how I've evolved as a musician, as a songwriter. So I'm excited to put the rest of it out and see what the world thinks of it.
Now, I was listening to Controlled Chaos this morning, which I love. I have it at home. And is this record going to, is this record going to ebb and flow, and there's going to be subtle and heavy stuff and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think it's important that each album tells a story. It's not just like, you know, there are some albums that I like that just slap you in the face from start to finish. It's just heavy, heavy, heavy. And there's some albums that are chill all the way through that you can just put on when you want to relax. And I think that's great too. But for me, for what I release, I always want each album to have a journey and tell a story and not have each song sound exactly the same. And I think we really accomplished that really nicely with this one.
Yeah, that's really the challenge, I guess, when you're an instrumentalist. You know, like John Five is one of my friends, and it's the same type of thing with him. But, you know, you just talked about playing like 18 and stuff. So what is the energy like as opposed to playing your own music on stage as opposed to playing someone else's?
Well, in terms of the energy of the overall show, my show is super high energy, you know, and Alice's show is like going to a Broadway play, you know, and it's not that it doesn't have energy. It has a ton of energy, but it's so theatrical. You know, there's expensive sets and very polished production and a lot to see and big lights and stuff like that. And my show is just high energy start to finish. You know, we don't really do the lulls and ebbs and flows of an album. Like, we want to have people have fun, get excited, get hyped from the very beginning of the show to the very end of the show. So we travel with a pretty big production, a pretty expensive production for a small tour. My stage manager Drew calls it big rock in a small hole. So like, we bring a lot of lights, we bring a lot of backdrops and risers and cool stuff like that. And we just want to give people, you know, it's not for everybody to see somebody standing on stage and playing guitar for an hour and not be able to really sing along. So we want to make sure that people that are rock fans that aren't necessarily only guitar fans have something to fun to watch. My band is really high energy. You know, everybody is as high energy and strong of a performer as I am in that band. So there's always someone to watch. There's always something to do. There's always something going on. And we have a really, really good time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, speaking of Alice, did you guys start to record a studio album for him in the fall? Like, did you guys start to kind of put some pieces together?
We did, yes.
So what's the progress of that?
I actually have a call with them this weekend to discuss the progress of it. The last that I heard, we were in Nashville working on it. The band and I sat down and recorded quite a bit of music for this upcoming record. The band did also have a huge part in the writing this time, which is the first time that's happened in the 8 years that I've been in the band. So, it was really, really fun, really exciting for us to get to work with a legend like Bob Ezrin, yeah. You know, huge, huge honor to be in the studio with him and Alice creating what we hope will be some more iconic Alice Cooper music to just add to his legacy.
Yeah. I was going to say, because you've recorded on stuff with him with live records and stuff, but this will be your first like studio stuff. So that's gotta be like kind of a pinch me moment, huh?
Big time. Huge pinch me moment. You know, I'm on the live DVD, I'm on the live album releases, you know, the live tracks that are bonus tracks and stuff. But, you know, the first studio album with Alice, you know, I'm actually the only person in the band that hasn't recorded anything with Alice before. So this is huge for me. Very, very honored.
No, that's got to be cool. And I mean, you know, just Alice and the theatrics. I'm a little bit older than you are, and it's like I can remember just as a kid just watching Alice. As a matter of fact, I'm in Detroit, and I grew up in Buffalo, and one of my early memories of Alice was the 1984 Cobo show that they played on MTV, and it was so cool. I watched it over and over and over again. It's so cool. But like you said, the Alice shows are just so iconic and so much fun.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. I mean, it really doesn't get any cooler than an Alice Cooper show.
Yeah, no question about it. So there's no you can't give us an update on when that record is going to drop. You guys are just kind of doing it whenever you can.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that information. You know, I can tell you a lot about my record, but when it comes to Alice, that's, you know, I'm a hired musician just like the rest of them. But right now we are still touring on Detroit Stories, which just came out last year. So I don't know that it'll necessarily be immediately that we see the next one, but please don't take my word for it. It's not my band.
Gotcha.
I don't want to speak out of turn. But I know we are going to be touring on Detroit Stories a lot this year.
You can tell us a lot about your record, except who's singing on it.
Except who's singing on it. I've got to keep some surprises.
Fair enough.
Have something for us to talk about again when the record comes out.
Fair enough. Hey, so you just mentioned Detroit Stories, which was recorded not that far away from where I am right now. So what are your thoughts on that album?
Oh, I loved it. It's a fun listen, you know, and I think it's really, really cool of Alice to do something to pay tribute to his roots. And kind of a really, really interesting thing. You know, I'm from Los Angeles and I love LA. Like, I love where I'm from. I love my hometown. It makes me happy being there, makes me happy playing there. But I don't know that I would write a whole album about it. You know, maybe a song, you know, but like, I don't know that I could think of a whole album of stuff of LA vibe to write. So I think it's really cool of Alice to do that.
And someone's going to leave in the garage again. So,
sorry.
No, it's all right. No problem.
We've got tour prep happening at my house. So my band and crew are all here doing stuff.
It adds to the liveness of it. And by the way, somebody already wrote a song called I Love LA. So maybe.
I know, Randy Newman. It's on my Instagram story every time I land at LAX.
All right. I'll have to check that out. I guess I never noticed that. I try to keep that stuff muted because I'm always in the studios. But hey, couple more things here for you and we'll let you fly. I just mentioned John 5 and I texted him the other day. I'm like, hey, man, what should I ask Nita? And he's like, how do you do healthy on the road? That was his question. Oh.
How do I do healthy on the road? I want to ask John how he plays so fast. I think staying healthy on the road is really more than anything about setting yourself up for success. You know, like if you have healthy options already on the tour bus or, you know, in your bandwagon or however you guys are touring, it's a lot easier to go for a healthy option if it's already there rather than having to seek something out after the show. So, you know, my tour manager, Avery, she knows that whenever, you know, I get off stage, I would like to have a salad or some chicken and veggies or like something healthy for me to eat, because otherwise I'll go for the pizza that the guys are eating, you know? So just having healthy options around, having healthy snacks around. I'm a very big snacker. So healthy snacks, you know, I do a lot of first form protein bars, protein shakes, that kind of stuff. And making sure that you're getting your exercise in as well. You know, we go to the gym almost every day before the show and just at least get some cardio in, get your body moving, and just realize that being on tour is not a vacation. You know, it's like, that's my life. I'm on tour all the time. And if I just treat it like a vacation, then I'll never get anything done. So that's all it is.
Yeah, good statement right there. All right, final thing here for you. We've covered Alice. We've covered your solo record and how to do healthy from John 5. All right, let's talk about Matthew Stafford for a second.
All right.
Okay, what do you think? Are you a believer or not?
I'm a believer, but I don't know what's going on with these picks lately. I really don't know. You know, like, it's easy for us to play armchair quarterback and go like, oh, what's with all the picks? But like, I really don't know what's with these interceptions with Stafford lately. Like, the first half of the season, the first three quarters of the season, he was so accurate. In the last couple of games, I feel like we've just had a lot of sort of misplays. But I love the way the team's playing. I think Stafford's a great fit. I think he's a better fit than Jared Goff was at the end of his last season with us. And I just realized where I'm talking to the line. Sorry. I think he's doing great. I think he's a great fit for the team. I love having OBJ. I love having Von Miller. I think the team is stacked right now, and I think we got a good chance to go all the way.
Well, you know, you just kind of hit it. It's like, who is a good staff on the or a good fit on the Lions? I don't know if anybody is, to be quite honest with you, because Stafford was, yeah, and Goff is like, you know. I think
but like, it's your offensive line, I feel like, too. You know, if you don't protect your guys, what are they going to do? Well, he's getting sacked all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I just saw the stat the other day that Stafford had thrown 4 pick sixes this year, I think.
Yeah, and they were all in the last 2 weeks, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if they were for sure, but it feels like they were.
Yeah, not a good way to be marching into the playoffs. So you said that. So you do something at the home games every single game?
Every home game, yes.
Do you play? You play the national anthem or God Bless America or?
So I actually play throughout the whole game.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I played Dead Inside at halftime the last home game, which was really, really cool. I'm going to be posting up a video of that on my YouTube channel, I think on Saturday ahead of the next game. But yeah, I've been doing it since the team first moved to SoFi. Every single home game, I've been there. It's myself and DJ Malski, who's the Rams DJ. And basically, anytime the DJ would play, I play along with him. So there's, you know, and there are a lot of times when I don't play, he'll play hip hop songs or whatever. But, you know, the DJ will play Ozzy or Black Sabbath or AC/DC or Guns N' Roses. And I'll play along with it and riff along with it and stuff and do some solos and play the team out, play sometimes at halftime. It's just a really, really fun thing for rock fans to have at their football game.
Yeah, that is so cool. So, I mean, with Los Angeles and stuff, you've probably been able to meet all sorts of like celebrities and stuff through doing this, right?
You know, unfortunately not. You know, it's still always been COVID time since we've been there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah.
So we're pretty separate. You know, we're on a stage and we don't really go down and interact. We're not really allowed to like go down, take photos, sign autographs or meet people or whatever, because it's still, unfortunately, you know, these weird times that we're living in. And in order for us, you know, it's kind of the same thing as touring. Like, in order for us to go out and make this experience happen, we have to do it in a little bit of a different way for right now. And as long as everybody's kind of cool with saying, hey, things are weird right now, you know, nobody's trying to be standoffish. You know, there's nothing that I want more than to like put my arm around people at meet and greet and say, thank you so much for coming. I missed you guys. But unfortunately, I have to do my meet and greet from like a couple feet back. And that's just the way it's going to be. And we can still hang out and I can still sign stuff and I can still say hi and hear your stories and tell my stories. It just has to be from a little bit away for a little bit longer. And as soon as we can get back to normal, we will. And it's the same thing at the games.
Yeah, it's a crazy time for sure. And I've seen some of your pictures there that you posted with the fans and stuff. It is kind of weird. But it's not weird like Kiss where they're standing behind that plexiglass. That always seemed kind of strange.
No, see, I feel like that's a little much. So like the way we do mine, 9 times out of 10, I just sit on the stage and people come right up to the barricade. So it's like 2 feet of distance. I'm right behind, you know, I get tested every day on tour. So you guys all know that I'm cool to be around. And we still, you know, with my meet and greets, we do a 30-minute Q&A. So anybody that has anything they want to chat to me about, this has always been since the beginning of my very first solo tour ever, we do this. We do a like 30-40 minute Q&A. So anybody that has anything they want to talk to me about or any stories they want to hear or anything like that, we do that at the very beginning. And then we do the same exact thing as always, you know, line up, photo, I get, you know, 3 autographs, we get a one-on-one photo. It's just from me on stage and you right on the barricade instead of right next to each other. So it's not as different as people, you know, people on social media like to complain about everything, every little thing. It's not so bad. Obviously, no one's putting a gun to anybody's head and forcing them to come to a show, forcing them to come meet and greet. But if you guys come, it's going to be fun.
So what's the number one question that people you get the most on these question and answer things?
What's it like playing with Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
Every single time. It's either what's it like playing with Alice Cooper or what is it like being a girl in this industry? And the answer to both is playing with Alice Cooper is fucking awesome. Like, you know, it's the best job in the whole world. Alice, you know, you guys are in Detroit. You know, Alice is an amazing human being, an amazing performer. And it's everything you would think it would be. It really is. And being a female in this industry is not as crazy as it used to be. Things are so amazing now for women in music. You know, I have a female tour manager. I have a female VIP coordinator, a female merch girl. My keyboard player is a girl. Like, I have so many great women working with me and alongside me. And same thing in Alice's camp. Like, there are just so many women in this industry that are kicking ass now. It's great to be a part of.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, I tend to stay away from those questions because they seem kind of overdone. But you've done great. I've been in this business for 30 years and I've seen a lot of women come into this business. And it's really cool to see. And I was just getting ready for the interview. And I remember I was standing on the side of the stage or something when you played at Rock in the Range. You did the national anthem. That was kick ass.
Oh, that was so fun.
Yeah.
Such a great day. I miss those big festivals. It's exciting they're coming back.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, hopefully this year will be a little bit better, but we'll see. I don't know. It doesn't seem like we're in a really good place right now, but who knows. But Nita, Winter Wasteland Tour, that comes to the Token on January 14th. Good luck with the new record. Good luck with the tour and stuff. We'll see you next week here in Detroit, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, I guess you got to talk a little bit of football when it comes to Anita and her connection with the Los Angeles Rams. I didn't realize that she was so connected. I know that she's done a bunch of stuff there, so it was kind of cool to hear her perspective as well. And it's funny because, as you heard, or as you see, if you can watch this video, it kind of dawns on her that, oh yeah, she's talking to me in Detroit. Anyway, it's always great to connect with Anita. I've met her in person a few times. Just a really cool person. Great talent as well. So, and her boyfriend slash, I don't know, manager slash drummer, Josh, is a really good guy as well. She's done tons of stuff with the WWE. And she's really put herself out there and made quite a career for herself, just turning 35 years old back in December. So she still has a long way to go, and wishing her nothing but the best here, of course, in 2022 and down the road. Anyways, thank you guys so much for checking out Talkin' Rock. Later on this week, I'm supposed to talk with Mark from Dirty Honey. I don't know if you saw this on New Year's Day. They did a cover of Prince's Let's Go Crazy, which started up the Winter Classic for the NHL. That's the game they play outdoors every single year around the new year. So it's a really cool cover. Great band. I love those guys. So we'll talk with Mark coming up here later on in the week. If you get a chance, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, all that kind of stuff. I'll let the guy with the big voice take us out and just remind you about that stuff again. Thanks so much for checking out Talkin' Rock.
Thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. You can help this podcast grow by giving it a 5-star rating and writing a review on Apple and iTunes. Plus, feel free to subscribe and share it with your friends. Until next time, thanks for listening to Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.